Genesis chapter 11, story of Babel. Title of the message this morning, Let Us Make Brick. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there, and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. This is the beginning of a religion, a worldwide religion. I believe it's more prevalent today than it was in this hour, in this day, at the actual Babel. And it all began with, they were all one of one speech, and they said, Let us make brick. Let us make brick. And they still do. You ever been to New York City? You can't count the bricks. I guess they would number in the billions. In just that one city alone, let us make brick. More bricks than a human can count. But God won't have them. And to this day, God will not have them. Bricks are an indication of a bondage, a type of a bondage. When the children of Israel, they were in Egypt, as you'll remember, and they forgot who Joseph was. They got a Pharaoh few hundred years later. He didn't remember Joseph, and they were in bondage. And then, if you'll remember, and they wouldn't supply them with certain ingredients needed. But they were busy always making brick. And then we have, when you start building things like this, you have masons. Stone masonry. This is where masonry was born, right here. And that's another sermon for another day. If you would turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. And I'd like you to look at verse 25. And there are many examples of this in the Bible, but we'll just touch on a few. And you'll get the idea. He said, If thou will make me an altar of stone. And God said, you make an altar of stone. But thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. And that's the difference. And that's where man's religion comes in. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it. Now look, thou hast polluted it. The biggest problem that I've found in religion, in churches, and in all these years is right there. Man lifts up his tool against it, and he pollutes it. God made everything that we'll ever need, but man has to pollute it. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse, go ahead and turn over there. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. There are two tenets there. He said, For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me. He is what? The fountain of living waters. And what'd they do? They hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So that what they chose was And the same thing they did in Genesis, and what they do in religion, all the denominations, is they hew them out cisterns instead of the living water that God has to this very day. Man always, always has a propensity to build. I don't think that I've ever been to a church that didn't want to build something. I mean, ever. They always want to build something. Turn back, if you're still in Jeremiah, turn back to Isaiah, the book before it, Isaiah chapter 17. And look at verse 7 and verse 8. At that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel, and he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either groves or the images, the altars. When God said you make an altar, he said you don't hew the stones. He didn't want man's hands. He didn't want man's tools upon it. You know what the first thing, people get houses. I mean, they can get, be in a house no time at all. And you know what they want to do? Build. They want to change it. They want to change this, and they want to change that. And is man ever satisfied with his abode? Ever. Always change. Always change. Well, let's do this, and let's do this, and let's do this. Even Peter, you've heard me say many times on the Mount of Transfiguration, well, let's build. Let's build. Build us three tabernacles. And we marvel even to this day at the pyramids, or the Parthenon, the Colosseum, and so many others. Now let me ask you something. What are they good for? What are they good for? I'm asking you. As a boy, a young man, I went to baseball games. I grew up in Houston, and the Colt 45s, the baseball team, professional baseball team, and I used to go to Colt Stadium. And they tore that thing down, and they built what they call the Astrodome, 1963-64. And they called it the eighth wonder of the world. Been there many, many times. So they left Colt, they tore down Colt Stadium, and they built the Astrodome on top of it. And now they play, I believe, Minute Maid or somewhere downtown Houston. And they want to tear down the Astrodome, the eighth wonder of the world. That's why my wife and I, we like Grandma's house. We every house, we've had brand new houses, but we like Grandma's house. Still standing. Works just fine. And I like it. It's a, what they call pier and beam, and fresh air flows underneath it. I grew up, and most of the houses I grew up in, they had slabs. Men just have to pour slabs. And they've already proven that radiation comes up through slabs and causes cancer. I'm not saying go poop because you live on a slab. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And I say that because man just has to build something. Go look at Detroit. Look at that thing. What's going to become of that? Have you ever seen the pictures? Newark, New Jersey? Detroit, Michigan? Even the water, the sewer in this little town of Beeville, Texas, where we reside. Man, in college, I helped lay some of the water and sewer line in Corpus Christi, Texas. They haven't changed it. 60 years ago, it's still there. And then go look at what God created, the mountains, the trees, the lakes, the seas, the rivers, the oceans. And you know what man does? He pours concrete dams and stops them up. From Babel. And he said, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Boy, I thought about that, and I said, well, it's back just like that. You just get on a computer. Everybody looks at Amazon from all over the world. A guy down in the Amazon rainforest, if he's got a cell phone, can push a button on Amazon, and it's in his own language. He sees it just like you and I do. Every country, every kindred. We've got 24-hour news. You get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, they've got the news going. The queen dies, and everybody knew it almost instantly, almost the moment it happened. So I thought about that thing, and I thought, well, in days of old, let's go back a few hundred years, in the 1700s, if the queen died in England, it would take a good 2 months for that ship to get over here. Excuse me, a month. Because they had the westerly trade winds. It's faster coming this direction, heading west, than it is heading east. So it'd take at least a month to get over here. But it would take twice that long to get back, and then barring thing. So basically it'd be about a four-month deal around trip, you know. We find out the queen dies, we send back word to the king, we're sorry the queen died, or whatever. Well, it's kind of wore off when you find out grandpa died, or grandma died 4 months ago. I mean, the shock's still there, but we're bombarded every hour of every day with instant news. And we feel bad because somebody was murdered in California or in China or kidnapped. Well, they didn't have that. Think about it. You didn't have that mental responsibility of all that data. You see? And it's just too much. We're bombarded with world news 24 hours a day. Details. 24 hours a day. So what's the point? The point is Babel. Listen, the people are one. Babel. Let us make brick. One people all over the earth in constant communication. Nothing restrained from them. Just like it was then. And I believe that God's coming back because we're in the exact, even more so than we were back in Genesis 11. And nothing is restrained from them which they've imagined to do. And you better think about that. Babel is back in a way never before imagined. Those befores could never imagine. I'm staring at a little piece of plastic that's about 6-inch diameter. And I've got a man on there from California, and I've got a man on there from Corpus. And normally I have one or two more on there. And if I were to push a button, they could see me and I could see them. Babel is back in a way never before imagined. And are they ever making brick? You know, of all the things that Jesus said when they brought him up before the Sanhedrin, he said he would destroy the temple. Of all the things, he said he'd destroy the temple. He's messing with our brick. You see? And that's what riled them up. Those things which they had built. And then Jesus said, well, I'll raise up another one. But remember, he said, the temple that I'll raise up will be built without hands. How do we get through all this? How are we to be? Are we not to be earnestly desiring a house not made with hands? Great blessing to me this past week. If you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In the first four verses. What a blessing. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building God. An house, now look, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I hope you know what earnest money is. I used to be in real estate, and earnest money is essentially a promise. I promise that this, I'm going to go through with this transaction. It's the earnest, you see. And if you look at verse 5, he said, now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing, wrought us. He that made us for this is God. And he has given to us the earnest. He gave us earnest money. He said, I've made a purchase. I purchased you. And the earnest of that, well, how do I know you're going to do that, God? How do I know you're going to go through with this? He said, I'll give you the Spirit. What a glorious thing. I will give you the Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit. Our promise of the life and the house not made with hands to come. And in verse 8, he says, we're confident. And I say, willing. We're all the willing people wanting to go to heaven. They're certainly not in church. Willing rather to be absent from the body. Oh, I don't want to leave this body. And to be present with the Lord. Do you see the difference in that and the religion of let us make brick? Can you see? Do you have this weighty matter of the brick over here? This mortality? And then you have this weightlessness, this freedom in Christ. Two separate things, you see. We're confident, even willing to be absent from this body. Know anybody like that? Paul said in Philippians, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. He said it's far better. You know anyone like that? No. We have brick. We're held here. We're held here. You know what by? Brick. The people is one. We can't leave all this. We've invested too much here to leave. We've got too much invested. God help us. You see, we've got things to do. We've got careers. We've got families to raise. We've got all sorts of gardens to tend and whatever. We've got too much to do. We've got buildings to build. And we've all got these things. But where's our earnest desire? Do you see? Where is our earnest desire? Confident, and I say willing, to be absent from this body. And how is it this desire is not for that which is made without hands? How is it that we're always looking for altars and buildings made with men's hands? And people don't even think they've been to church. One of the greatest joys I've had preaching these 35 years was we got rid of a building and we went out to a farmer's house and we had church for many Sundays under an oak tree. I think we should often consider for what it was that Esau sold his birthright. Because God hated him. And we spend an awful lot of time for those beans. An awful lot of time. An inordinate amount of time. for that brick. And truth be told, most all our life, chasing that brick, chasing those beans. You know, Babylon, I said, it's the mother of all religions. Jesus never said go build anything. Did you know that? He told these people over here to go make disciples, and he told these people to... He never said go. He was a carpenter. And he never... And I've said before, well, name me one thing that Jesus built as a carpenter. I know he built something. Must not have been a very big deal. He never said go build anything. You see. Matter of fact, he told us just the opposite. I had a discussion with a man this week, and I had already had this message written. You see, I'm a Christian. But my Christianity is not a religion. And if people, they go make brick, and you know what happens? It becomes a religion. Now you think about that. When you go make brick, it becomes a religion. But Christ is not a religion. Christ is life, and life eternal. That's what Christ is. He's not a religion. All the other religions, they have to do with stone. And some that profess Christianity today, they still make statues. And they build altars. And they get all the brick they can. They build these large edifices. And unless they have the altar, unless they have the pulpit, unless they have the pews, and unless they have the bricks, unless they have the Sunday school, unless they have this, then it's not a church. What are you talking about? I'm looking at the church and you're looking at the church. It's this temple. You know why most don't have this earnest desire to depart and be with the Lord? Sadly, it's because they have not the earnest. They have not the spirit. They have but religion, and it's man-made. But you see, with the Spirit, the sale, the thing is finished. He said it's finished. It's assured. But they're still building. Always building. Like I said, I don't ever remember going to a church. They were trying to build something. I preached over 30 years ago. I don't want you to think now because, oh, you're saying you're old now, so you're getting ready to die, and it's easy for you to say. I preached this over 30 years ago. Every true child of God has a death wish of sorts. Confident, willing, earnestly groaning, I want to go. Whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, I want to go. It should be the first thing that comes. When can I get my new house? When can I move? You see, earnestly desiring. But sadly, let us make brick. You think about that. Because it's going to come to you. It's going to come to you this week. You're going to find yourself making brick. I'm not telling you not to build things. I'm telling you it's going to come to you. My little hut, I'll just let it be. Lord Jesus is building a mansion for me. And then I'm going to end with, in the book of Psalms, one verse. Psalms chapter 65 and verse 4. He said, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Not our house, his house. Not our holy temple, his holy temple. So you think about that. There's certain things God's given me, certain titles over the years, and this is one of those that it'll be with me. Let us make brick. I'm not telling you not to make brick. I'm telling you, you think about it. And you make sure the reason and the necessity of that brick. Because we're to be earnestly seeking that to come. We're not to lay up treasure here. But boy, we do. You see, the religious people, the Babylonian people said, "Let us make God's children know." Paul said, "I've got an earnest desire to leave." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your kindness and mercy. That when you moved into this earthly tabernacle, that you gave us, those that are in Christ, you gave us the earnest of the desire to be confident and willing to go to the house made without hands eternally. Who wouldn't want such a thing? I thank you for that, Father. Jesus said, unless I go, I can't leave this with you. He left the earnest with us. And he didn't leave it in brick and mortar and hewn cisterns. He left it in his sheep. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.